Good morning. It's good to be back. Oh, it's too loud. All right, let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, who is sufficient to speak on this subject? It's got to be the Spirit of God. By my lips and my mouth, I pray that you present the Word of God in such a way that we see the Holy Spirit with clearer eyes of understanding and realize more fully what He wishes to do in and through every one of us. I pray this in Jesus' name and thank you in advance because it's your will. Amen. Well, as George asked me what I would like to present, the issue of the Holy Spirit came to mind almost immediately. The Holy Spirit has been, well, let me just back up. I generally don't read quotes from the pulpit, but I'm going to read just something that meant a lot to me. This is from Testimonies of Ministers, page 174. And it lays out, really, if I don't know what I want to say this, our dilemma as a people, as Seventh-day Adventists. And I'm just going to read this, and then we'll roll. Just prior to his leaving his disciples for the heavenly course, Jesus encouraged him with the promise of the Holy Spirit. This promise belongs as much to us as it did to them. And now listen to what she says next. And yet how rarely it is presented before the people in its reception spoken of in the church. Is that true? Yes. It is, isn't it? Yep. Yeah. Okay. It says, the consequence of this silence upon the most important theme, what promise do we know less about by its practical fulfillment than this rich promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, whereby efficiency is to be given to all our spiritual labor? The promise of the Holy Spirit is casually brought into our discourses, is incidentally touched upon, and that is all. So I'm almost finished. Prophecies have been dwelt upon. Do we know a lot about prophecy? We know a lot about it. Okay. Doctrines have been expounded, and these are good things. Okay. But that which is essential to the church in order that they may grow in spiritual strength and efficiency, in order that the preaching may carry conviction with it and souls be converted to God, has been largely left out of ministerial effort. End of quote. She goes on to say, last point, but the impression concerning the Holy Spirit has been that the gift is not for the church now. Is it available now? Is it for us today? Absolutely it is. And the question is, it begs the question, and we're going to get to the answer to this question near the end of this, is why aren't we seeing more of the power of the Spirit of God upon ourselves? That's the question. And we're going to answer it later on, okay? Because we're going to talk about how can we be filled with the Spirit of God so that we might have this efficiency of the Spirit of God, and we roll with the Spirit through our lives on a continual basis. In other words, that we might walk in the Spirit, as the Bible says. Okay? And when we walk in the Spirit, that means that He is rolling with us as we work and do and go about our daily activities, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, and no matter who we're with. And when the Spirit of God is with us on that level, I want to tell you that things are going to happen and they're going to be good. Amen. Okay? And believe me, as I said when I was here last time, I've struggled with this myself. Okay? I have. And now my eyes are being opened. I'm going to share with you what I hope will be a blessing to you also this morning. Well, let's go to John 14. Because in the Last Supper in the upper room, it was a sad time for the disciples. It wasn't a sad time for Christ, but it was for the disciples because he had told them that he's now going to leave. Okay? Now he's 30-some years old. He's been with the disciples for 3.5 years. They've slept with him. They've eaten with him. They've worshiped with him. They've witnessed these amazing miracles. And now he says, right in the middle of their lives, I'm going to leave. Okay? And that's where we take it up here. So let's go. And John 14. I'm going to skip down just a little bit here. We're not going to start with verse 1. But let's start with verse 10. And of course, Philip asked in verse 8, he said, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? What's Jesus talking about here? Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God, was he not? Yes he was. In fact, his very conception started with the Spirit of God as a human being. Okay? He's anointed by the Spirit of God. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And this is the medium by which the Father himself indwelt his Son. That's what Jesus is saying right here. Okay? And this is the example for you and I. The same availability is for every follower of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that. Okay? So let's go. Let's let the Scriptures speak to us. And he says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, if you don't take my word for it, at least believe me for the work's sake, because I'm here as a man just like you. These mighty works that you see are my Father doing them through me. By the Spirit. Okay? All right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now Jesus is suggesting something, a transition here, that is going to make possible what he himself did locally be done globally. Okay? Because Jesus had poured his divinity into humanity that had its hindrances as far as being multiple places at once, okay? And so Jesus is talking, but let's jump over to Mark real quick, because he said, these things you will do if you believe, all right? Let's check this out. And this one haunts me in a good way, okay? Let's go to Mark, last chapter. I get there. Okay. Verse 17, chapter 16, verse 17. Now listen to what Jesus is saying. These are some of his last words. And these signs shall follow them that what? That believe. Is there any time limit on what he's saying here? Absolutely not. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now let's find out what they are. Because Jesus is speaking about it here in John 14. Right? Okay? So he says, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, a lot of people are trying to poison people. I guess it's happening even now, right? It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what?
Recover.
I've never preached a sermon on that particular text, and I've asked pastors about it, and they tend to avoid it. Why? Because we don't see these things, do we? No. Is the Spirit of God anxious to see these things being done in His people? Yeah, He is. He is. In fact, I was talking with somebody yesterday whose wife, a good friend of mine, whose wife had breast cancer, and she was in remission, and guess what? It's back. In fact, it's back with a vengeance. And he talked to me, and we were talking yesterday on the phone, and he said, Steve, he said, does it occur to you that many people have gone to their death prematurely and people have not been healed because of the lack of our belief? And I said, Eric, I said, that's what I've been convicted about. Absolutely. Okay? So this is an extremely practical thing we're talking about here. Because so often we think of the Holy Spirit as more of a force instead of a person. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. Okay, but let's go ahead. It says, verily, verily, it's back in John 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Obviously, this has to be coupled with the will of God. Okay? But let me say this. There is far more that God wants to do than what we have asked Him to do. All right? And prayer is the vehicle for this, is it not? And I'll be really honest with you. There are times that I struggle in prayer in the sense of taking the time that it really needs to really wrestle with God in prayer. Is that easy? No, it isn't. But look at the profound results that happen when we do. Okay? All right, so let's go on. Because what he's saying here, and the disciples are trying to digest this, and now he's going to be more specific. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the condition. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Well, who's the first comforter? Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, listen, I'm going, but I'm sending somebody just like me. Okay? And listen to what he says. By the way, the actual translation of comforter, the Greek, is actually advocate. Okay? One who advocates for you. When someone advocates for you, they defend you. Right? They stand in your defense. And is there comfort in that? There's great comfort in that. Because we find ourselves in difficulty and trouble and so forth. And Jesus is saying, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to be a comforter through advocacy for you in every way, spiritually, physically, temporally, whatever you're in. All right? So this is good news. He says, that he may abide with you for what? Forever. Listen, there is not a day that the Holy Spirit has not been with you and I. And he is working on every single individual who is living or ever lived in this world. Sometimes we think evangelism is kind of a tough deal, you know, a tough nut to crack. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God is evangelizing every single day, and he's waiting for us to hook up with what he's already doing. Okay? Listen, the responsibility of evangelism is not on you and I, it's on the Spirit of God. The question is, are you and I fully available to the Spirit of God to be used of the Spirit to in what he's got going on? Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. 2 days ago, I got a new truck and I got a recall already. Isn't that awesome? So, and they said, well, I said, how long are you going to have this thing? Oh, we're going to have it all day. Well, man, I can't, I got to have wheels, okay? So I called Enterprise, and when they took me over there, and almost immediately, a connection happened with a couple of the young people behind the, I didn't go there to evangelize. I didn't go there to talk about Jesus Christ. But there was a connection that began between us. And it was incredible. I was well aware of it, and they were too. And so when I got the car and everything, I went over to pick oranges over at Fresno Adventist Academy. They have some fantastic oranges. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm going to bring back a lug of these things for the people at Enterprise. Boom. Next thing they're talking to me, the girl asked me, she says, what do you actually do? I said, you know what? I said, do you know anything about Jesus? She says, yeah, I kind of do. I said, you know what I found out? Jesus is the greatest adventure in the universe. Do you like adventure? Yeah, she says, I love adventure. She says, what kind of adventures did you go on? Whipped out my phone, started showing pictures, and right there. That's not all. Alan, young Latino, took me back, and we're riding there, and he's asking about UFOs. And he says, what do you think they are? And I told him what I thought they were, and I talked a little bit about where we are in the world. And so we sat in GMC parking lot for 30 minutes, going through the script. He had his phone out, and we're going through the scriptures, and he's asking this, and he's asking that, and the Bible is answering it. Who's doing this work? Amen. The Spirit of God. I'm not doing it. I went to rent a car. All right? But listen, when we go into places like that, we need to ask God in the Spirit, say, do you have anything going on here? And most of the time, he's going to say, yeah, I got stuff going on. And lead us right to it. Okay? And to the people. That he will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you knoweth him, for he dwelleth, I'll get this next phrase, don't miss it, for he dwelleth with you, but shall be in you. There's a great change about to take place, and that change happens on the basis of Calvary. Before the cross, the Spirit of God was with men and women. He came upon them, but it was a transient situation. Okay? But after the cross, Jesus just said, he shall be in you. Is that good news? Amen. That is really good news. Okay? And then it gets even better. Listen to this. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I who? Jesus is saying, I will come to you. Right. personally. If there's something we need to be praising God for a lot, it is the indwelling Christ. That Christ would be willing to come and take up residence in people like you and I. Is that good? I mean, really, think about it. Would you want to come and take up residence in you? if you were holy and perfect? Only if you loved. It's the love of God that's willing to come in to a guy like Steve Rinker and start cleaning up the mess that is there and transforming this guy. And you, if you're willing, okay? It's incredible. So let's go on. He says, let's just jump in here. Let's finish up on this. Verse 22. Now, there's even a greater annunciation of who's coming. Okay? It says this, and I think we talked about this last time, but let's go over it again. Judas, verse 22, said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if you love me, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, who's the we? The Father and the Son, okay, will come unto him and make what? Our home with him. You see, the Spirit of God is not, he's not interested in just us calling upon him in emergencies. He wants to abide with us. Okay? He wants to hang out with you and I. And when he does, he is not passive. He is exceedingly active. Okay? Not only transforming us, but using us as weapons of love in a world gone wrong. And there's no weapon out there like love, is there? I mean, really? No, there's not. There's not. So Jesus has just laid it out. Now, the things that I want to talk about just a little bit is about the personality of the Holy Spirit. Number one, before we go there, in John 16, Jesus says, it is expedient that I go away. And we've already realized why it was expedient that he went. Okay, so that the Spirit of God could be sent. And then he and the Father could be indwelling people all over the globe at all times. Okay? So, if you notice, he has personality. Okay? The Spirit of God loves. He wills. He chooses. He prays. He intercedes. And so, he is the third person of the triune, of the Trinity. Okay? He has the same characteristics, the same traits as Jesus Christ. He loves on the level of Christ. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. Okay? And all these wonderful traits are the traits of the Spirit of God. All right? Secondly, when the Bible refers to him, he refers to him in a personal pronoun. Him. He. Okay? But he's a spirit. He does not have human flesh like Jesus Christ. Okay? And so when we understand this, it's by faith alone, isn't it? I mean, you can't see him or touch him. But listen, you know when we have an experience, and you have an experience with the Spirit of God. Right? So what about conviction? You ever been convicted? Is it a good thing? Man, I'll tell you what. It's not easy to be convicted, but it's a good thing. Because the next step is over the falls if we don't listen. Right? Now, somebody asked me last night, they said, well, what is the difference? Is conviction condemnation? Is it? No. No, 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 no. Jesus said himself, he said, I didn't come into the world to what? Condemn the world. Why would he condemn the world when it's already condemned? That doesn't even make sense. Okay? But that through me, you might be saved. Okay? So conviction is not condemnation. Conviction is this. When Steve has judged somebody, the conviction comes very quickly to me. Steve, you stepped over the line, buddy. You have no business judging that person. And besides that, he will use the scriptures and he will say, well, Steve, have you checked out Romans chapter 2 lately? It says, the very thing that you're judging that person for, you yourself are guilty of. Whoa. Oh. And what that, I praise God for conviction of the Spirit of God. Because if I respond to that by His grace, I'm going to confess that sin, ask forgiveness, and repent. And by the way, those are all gifts, aren't they? Would you and I repent on our own? There's no way. All right? Would we ask forgiveness on our own? No, it's a gift. These are gifts. And if we're willing to receive those on the basis of conviction, guess what? We're on the highway again. All right? The sky is blue, the sun's shining, and let's roll with the Spirit of God. But if we resist conviction, can two walk together unless they be agreed? No. If we resist the conviction of the Spirit of God, guaranteed, we're going to make a great mistake. Okay? Does that mean the Spirit of God has left us? Absolutely not. It means that He's going to work harder to bring us back. Amen. All right? Isn't that good news? I'll tell you that's good news. One of my favorite parts of Scripture for myself is when Simon, Jesus was at his feast, and he asked Simon, he said, Simon, who loves most? He who's forgiven least or forgiven most? I love God an awful lot because I've been forgiven a lot. How about you? Amen. Yeah. Such good news. There's no condemnation there. It's encouragement, man. In fact, I wish I had the quote. Somebody shot me a quote, and it said this. It says, Jesus, I'm paraphrasing, Jesus loves us even more after we have sinned and been seduced into sin and repented. He loves us even more than if we had not ever committed to sin. Somebody else say amen. I mean, listen, when we have fallen into sin, what do we feel like? Terrible. Okay? And we feel like we would be rejected. And Jesus is saying, listen, when you come to me and confess that sin, ask forgiveness and repent, I love you even more than even before you committed it. Why? Because that draws us to Him even more, doesn't it? See? Okay. So, Let's talk a little bit about the personality of the Spirit. We have, really. Okay. Now, one of the downsides is we can grieve the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of text here. I will give it to you. Ephesians 4:30. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't quench the Spirit. In other words, if the Spirit is working in you powerfully, don't do things to quench that incredible being working in you. Okay? Acts 5:9, don't lie to the Spirit. Don't lie to the Spirit. When you're dealing with God, be absolutely open. I mean, he's looking out the front window anyhow, isn't he? I mean, are you going to keep something from him? There's no way. Be honest with him. Okay? Remember Ananias and Sapphira? This is what the text is referring to. They lied to the Spirit of God. It was a big deal. Okay? All right? Acts 7:51. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a little bit already. Don't resist him. What do I do if I am resisting him? Give up. Surrender. Just give up. Say, Lord, I'm resisting you on this. I know I am. I'm just giving up. I'm letting you have it. And the resistance will be removed. See? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I won't leave you orphan as an orphan. Okay? I'm always for you. In fact, do you know, think about this. Do you really understand yourself? No. Listen, you are always understood. You are completely known by God, and you are completely loved. When you can't figure out why you did what you just did or said what you just said, go to the one who completely knows you, who completely understands you, and who loves you with all his heart. And ask him for the answer. And you know what? He'll give it to you. And it will surprise you most of the time. Otherwise, you would have already known, right? Yeah. So God is always for us, never against us. Okay? Always remember that. Okay, last thing. Hebrews 10:29. Don't insult the Spirit of God. What is one of the greatest insults that we can insult him with? Denial of his presence. And also, not taking advantage of the amazing gift that he is. Right? I mean, when somebody wants to give you a gift, an incredible gift, and you say, nah, I really don't want that, is that insulting? It's very insulting, okay? And so don't insult the Spirit of God. That's in Hebrews, okay? 10:29. So how do I get the Holy Spirit in a greater experience and not just theoretical? See, lots of times when we have these kinds of talks, we have the didactic, we have the theoretical, but if we don't illustrate how to get there, we wasted your time. Right? Okay. Number one, develop an intimate, personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Remembering that He is a person. He has feelings. He's a person. And to develop an intimate, personal relationship with the Spirit of God. Okay? Don't just go to Him for His power. Go to Him for His person. Does that make sense? Yeah. Go to Him for His person. Be intimately acquainted with the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit, God works in His people to will and do of His good pleasure. But many will not submit to be led. You know what Americans say all the time? Don't tell me what to do. All right? I'm free. Don't tell me what to do. We're unwilling to be led by the Spirit of God. Why? Why would that be? Why would we have a problem with that? What would be the issue? Because we've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we don't know Him. If we know what He has in store for us, we would be on it yesterday. Right? And that's what these things are for, to get us to know, come into His presence and getting to know the Spirit of God as a person and not just a force. Okay? And then, as we get to know Him, we're asking for more from Him, and He's going to give us more than what we ask for. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Okay? Only to those who humbly wait upon God, who watch for His guidance. You see? You see the submission, the surrender here? As human beings, we like to be in what? In control. Right? Like to be in control. I know what I'm doing. Right? I know what I'm doing. Maybe. Maybe not. Because you don't see the whole picture. And we don't see the whole picture. Do we? We see a microscopic point of the whole picture. The Spirit of God sees the whole picture. And so what may be right for you, or what you think is right for you, may be exactly the opposite of what is going to be good for you or the people around you. Okay? And this plays out, I think, a lot in the way in what we say. Okay? Because we're talking all the time, right? We're talking to people. And one of the things that hit me, the Spirit of God pointed out to me about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's true. You know how James talks about the tongue? You know, the fire and all that kind of stuff causes, all the trouble the tongue causes? And then he says this, and no man can bridle the tongue. Do you know how many years I've tried to bridle my tongue? To no avail? And at that point, as the Spirit of God opened my blind eyes, I said, this is crazy. I said, look at Lord, you just said that no man can bridle it, including me. Okay, so you're going to have to bridle my tongue. I'm going to ask you every day to bridle my tongue. What do you think happened? It wasn't like it was out of control, but I want to tell you something. I stopped saying things that I would normally say, and I started saying things I normally wouldn't. In fact, a lot of it was silence when normally I would have gone on and said more. What was the result of that? Well, first of all, God was glorified. And finally, Steve Rinker said to him, "Would you please bridle my tongue?" And he's like, "Man, I've been waiting a long time for that request." And my wife was too. You know, you married people. Come on now. All right? Okay, so that's what I'm saying. It's things like that, when we get to know the Spirit of God, as we're reading along stuff that we've read 500 times and still not seen it, He opens these eyes and we see it and we say, "Wow, let's go. I'm asking you to do this now." And He does. Can you imagine the blessing of a bridled tongue? Saying a word in season that would encourage somebody, that would help somebody, where before you wouldn't. Just a few things. Okay. We're getting close. I think I'm going to close with Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. It's one I claim all the time. And by the way, let's go to Peter a minute. This is something else I just learned. This is what's so exciting about the Spirit of God working as we read the Word and He just opens our eyes. He says, let's see. Let me get 2 Peter here. Yeah. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 before we go to Ephesians and we'll close. Again, I've read this 1,000 times, okay? But listen to this. Verse 2. Grace and peace be what? Unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now listen to this next part. Whereby are given us unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be what? Of what? Well, who's the divine nature? It's Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God. He says, listen, you've been given promises, we've been given promises that enable us to become partakers of the divine nature. And so I was in ABC the other day, and I was talking to somebody about this. They asked me a question about it, and I said, you know, one of the things that I think we as a people are, this is not criticism, okay, because I was there too, but one of the things that we, how can I say this? One of the things we do not understand as we should is the mystery of the gospel. Okay? And so she said, well, I don't know about that. And one of the ladies that is in my Sabbath school class walked through the door in the ABC and said, hey, just ask, let's ask her what the mystery of the gospel is. I said, just to illustrate the point. And I said, this isn't a trick question. I said, what is the mystery of the gospel? I don't know. It's a divine, precious promise. Colossians 1:27. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in you. Okay? All right, last one, Ephesians. Let's go there. Because this is a prayer of Paul. for all of us. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see. Wait a minute. Oh, no, excuse me. Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, I'm sorry. Verse 14. And this is where we close. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, who's the you? It's you. Right? Okay. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by who?
Spirit.
His spirit in where?
Inner man.
Inner man. Now, look at verse 17. And this is how it happens. That Christ may dwell where?
In your heart.
In your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what?
Love,
may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. The Father, the Son, by the Spirit of God. That prayer is just as sound for you today and I today as it was prayed then. Are you willing to receive that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've been challenged this morning. I know I have. With a greater understanding, a clearer understanding of the promise of your Spirit, the personality, the person of the Spirit, and the great work of the Spirit, wanting to make such a difference in all of our lives. So this morning, we ask that according to thy word, what we have read, that it be done in us. We pray this in Christ's name, and thank you. Amen.